This week's Torah Way has been sponsored L'Ilu Nishmas, Rebbe Ephraim, Fishel, Ben Rebbe Yoel Aryeh, Zecher Livracha.
Chof Aleph Eir, Wednesday the 1st of May, Rebbe Yanki Wiesenfeld. Who is he and he is she?
Avosai, today is the 17th Yot Site of my Shvei Zecher Livracha. Reb Ephraim Fishel, Ben Rebbe Yoel Aryeh, Mr. Dick from Antwerp, Zecher Livracha. And therefore I want to thank the Dudi and the Tibor for allowing me this opportunity to share some Divrei Torah with you today, Leila Nishmosoi, and in fact the whole year round. I've heard it said that when a person gives tzedakah, Leila Nishmas, somebody who's died, people are manadim tzedakah either on a yacht site or they're manadim tzedakah at Yizkah, that one ought to give the tzedakah, you should always try and give the tzedakah to a cause that the nifter would have supported or did support in his lifetime. Because the neshama of the nifter will have anor. For instance, my Shver Zecharon Levracha was a Vizhnitz Chosid. He supported the yeshiva in Vizhnitz, and therefore on his yotzat we give tzedakah to something that was close to his heart. So the Chayra, I was thinking that maybe when one says Divrei Torah Le'ilu Nishmosoi, that should also be something that's close to his heart. And the Divrei Torah that I'm going to share with you is something... Oh, maybe a Vision of Torah should have been. I did actually on one of his yotzats say over a Vision of Torah. But this is actually what I'm sharing with you today is something that I discovered when I was preparing Kriyas HaTorah and started off in Parshas Acharei. And the majority of it would not have interested my Shver. Because by Shver being a Vision of Tzachosid, as Maya mentioned, by him, who was he and he was he. Therefore, right, the masculine and the feminine, he would have pronounced both as he. On the other hand, you'll see later on that my research led me on from the who is he to the inyan of the return of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, Ba'achris Hayomim, when the Gula Hasida comes. And that interested him very, very much. He had a great love for Eretz Yisrael and Bifrat. He just saw the Holocaust and saw what happened to Klal Yisrael. So that chelik of the thing would certainly have interested him. The who's and the he's in the Torah are very confusing, especially for a Baal Torah, if you're trying to read them without vowels. And the reason is as follows. Who is spelt throughout the Torah, Hey, Vov, Aleph, which is as you would expect. The problem is that apart from 11 places where he is spelt Hey, Yud, Aleph, so therefore when you read it in a Sefer Torah, you know it's he, all the others, and I don't know how many there are, whether there are hundreds or even thousands of he's, yeah, the feminine he, which you would expect to be written Hey Yud Aleph, is also written Hey Vov Aleph. So therefore, yeah, it's very confusing when a person is reading without vowels and he's got the Hey Vov Aleph in front of him. It's either going to be who or it's going to be he, and he doesn't know. So very often the context is going to give him the clue. Obviously, if you're talking about a man, it's an ish, it's a koyeh, no problem, that's a male. Talk about a male animal, a shoyer or an ayil, that's going to be who. And if you're talking about a masculine noun, which is not so easy to know what's what, then if you talk about a shulchan or a bias, that's who. Okay. The feminine is much easier. Again, if I'm talking about a lady, then I'll be talking about an isho or a giveres. If I talk about a female animal, then again, that's going to be he. But then there are also a number of suffixes which give it away that it's a female, right? And the easiest way to remember it is Kohenes, Leviyo, and Yisraelis. Yeah, if it ends with an S, or it ends with an O, or it ends with an Is, yeah? So for instance, Menoiro, Achuzo, all those are feminine. Yeah, Yisraelis, Tloichis are feminine. And Shamenes and Mishenes, those words are feminine. So you've got clues from the context. The problem is that there are some times in the Torah when you simply might be looking at a Hey, Vov, Aleph, and you're not sure, is it a who or is it a he? Let's have a look at one of them. Right? If you look at those of you who've got the sheet, there's some more maybe on the thing, another up. Yeah? What is Shabbos? Is Shabbos a who or a he? Is Shabbos masculine or feminine? Maya says both. What? You think both. Okay, well, let's have a look. V'shomru b'nei Yisrael as ha-Shabbos, we all know, la'asach ha-bein yovein b'nei Yisrael, ois hi li'oilam. So that tells me, ois hi li'oilam, although it's written with a hey, vov aleph, which is the first line on your sheet, line number one, but it's a he, it's feminine. So I know Shabbos is feminine. Well, No, but the Shabbos is. We'll come to it. The Shabbos is he Ilu Ayim Tzor, right? In fact, what? In fact, I haven't checked the what?
It's not the
Shabbos
Queen's, it's feminine.
It's Shabbos Hamalka, yes. Yeah. Kodesh Hi Lochem, Shabbos Hamalka. Okay, but that's not a pasuk. Okay. So, what about Shabbos Shabbosoin? Is Shabbos Shabbosoin also feminine? Or is it? Does it become masculine? Is the Shabbosoin part of it masculine? So if you look at line 2 in Yom Kippur, this is the parsha at the end, or at the end of the first parsha, which we line on Yom Kippur, on the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, at the beginning of Achrei Mois. It says, Shabbos, Shabbosoin, Hi Lochem. And actually this one is easy, because this is one of the 11 places in the Torah where he is written with a yud. Therefore the Torah is telling you, don't make any mistake, Shabbos is he, Shabbos Shabbosoin is he Lochem, v'nisim es nafshei seichem, it's feminine. What about, then if you come to last Shabbos, we line Parshas Emor. In Parshas Emor we line Shoyer Chesed, which is the lining of Yontif. And the first thing, Eile Moyadei Hashem Asher Tikroi Som Moyadom, speaks about Shabbos, Sheish Yisroel Tayyos Melocho. And then it says, Uvayoy Mashvi Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbosoin, Yil Chodesh. Yeah? And then it says, Shabbos, Hey Vov Aleph. What's that, Shabbos who? We just learned twice that it's he, didn't we? We learned that Shadeh, Ois Hi Li Olam, and Shabbos, yeah? So, Shabbos, Hi Lashem. That the Hey Vov Aleph, it's he. So we've got three cases so far where Shabbos and Shabbos Shabbosoin are he lochem. Good. So now let's have a look in Shoyer Chesed. Yeah, we're carrying on lining and we move on through the Yom Tovim and we come to Yom Kippur. And in Yom Kippur, at the end, we find the same posuk word for word, or the first half of the posuk, as we found at the end of Parshas Achrei, with even the same neginus as well. Yeah, Shabbos Shabbosoin. Now, what? Hey, Vav Aleph Lochem. Yeah, so based on the previous, if you look at number 2, same thing. Shabbos Shabbos and He Lochem. And the Torah spelt it with a Yud and even told you it's a Yud. Yeah? So here, it should also be, all the Shabbos we've had till now, should also be Shabbos He. It's Shabbos Shabbosoi Hu Lochem. Here it's Hu. Right, so I've got Shabbos Shabbos and He Lochem in one posuk, and Shabbos Shabbos and Hu Lochem in another posuk. So, Lechoya, I need help. I need help to work it out, to tell me which one's which. So I turn to today's Daf Ayomi. Today's Daf Ayomi is Erevin Daf Nun Dalet. Those, some of you probably learned it already, and others are going to learn it later on. But Nun Dalet on the base, the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rav Chisda, Eina Torah Niknis Ela B'Simonim. In order to learn Torah, in order to retain the Torah, you need to make simonim. You need markers, you need pointers, you need reminders. Fancy English, mnemonics. Yeah? That would be good for Rabbi Belovsky, yeah? Mnemonics. Spelt with an M-N at the beginning. Silent M. Yeah? Says Rav Chisda, yeah? You have to make simonim for the Torah. Why? Because the Torah says that Yivato Kisru Lachem Es Hashira Azois, the mitzvah, V'lamdo Es B'nei Yisrael, teach it to the B'nei Yisrael, Simo B'fihem, place it in their mouths. Says Rav Chisda, Al Tikro Simo, Elo Simono. Right? He adds in the letter Nun, and he makes from Simo Befihem, he says Simona Befihem. Make Simonim in order that you can help yourself remember the Torah. Simona is very similar to the beginning of mnemonics. Simona. I don't know. I don't think there's a connection, but.
Yeah, it's good. That's
yeah?
Good.
You like it?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. So, Rashi says that when you learn Sugyas in Shas sometimes, you'll see at the beginning it says a few words, Simon. Yeah? Between the double dots, a pair of double dots. It'll say, Bayis, Shoichet, Melech, Simon. And then you know you're going to learn one sugi about Bayis, and then another sugi about Shoichet, and then Simon. That's what Rashi says, that you should make Simonim like the Simonim Chachomim, Kederach Sheyesh B'Shas, says Rashi. Kum to Rav Avo says that I learn the same thing that one should make Simonim, but I learn it from a different posse completely. I learned it from Yirmiyah. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah Lamed Aleph that says, "Hatzivu lecha tziyunim." Make markers for yourself. Yeah, and the Marshal says, "Why does Rav Chisda prefer the pasuk in Yirmiyah? Because you don't have to kvetch simo into simono." Edechanama, Rav Chisda came along with the pasuk in the Torah of simo b'fihem, but he had to change simo into simono. Whereas Rav Avo said, "I've got a pasuk which says before it, Hatzivu lecha tziyunim. Make yourself prominent markers." So now, we have to look to see whether we can have a simon. That pasuk is in Yirmiyah Lamed Aleph, and I'll explain to you exactly the context of it in a minute when we explain the simon. Says the Minchas Shai, B'Shem Lechizkuni. The Minchas Shai is a classic text on the grammar and the voweling and the punctuation of the Torah. He brings down B'Shem Lechizkuni, which was a parish on the Rashi. Both Rishonim. Well, the Minchas Shai was an early Achron, and Lechizkuni was a Rishon. We'll discuss the history in a minute. Yeah, and he says as follows that Vatoichal he vehu simon. He says the simon is Vatoichal he vehu. What is Vatoichal he vehu, which is going to be the simon that's going to help me to remember how to line this parsha. So you've got in Melachim Aleph, Vatoichal he vehu is a posuk. Very interesting. The posuk in Melachim Aleph says as follows, that there was a gezerah, Elio HaNovi made a gezerah at the time, and he said to Achav, yeah, that there will be no rain for 3 years. For the first year, there will be a drought for 3 years. For the first year, Elio HaNovi lived in a cave, and he was fed, the Rabbein Shem sent him birds, and they brought him food, they brought him drink, and he was looked after inside the cave. After the first year, the Rabbein Shem said to, Vahi Dvar Hashem Elov Lemoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Elio HaNovi, leave the cave, Kum leich Tzorfato, go to a place called Tzorfat. Hine tzivisi shom isha almono lechal kelecho. I've arranged there, says the Rabbein Shalom to Elio HaNovi, that there's a lady, the Tzorfatis, as we call her, yeah, the isha Tzorfatis, the almono Tzorfatis, she is going to look after you, she's going to feed you.
What about Yichud?
Pardon?
Yichud.
There are eitzes on Yichud.
What?
There are eitzes for Yichud. You can have other people in the house, you can leave the front door open, yeah? I'm sure that Elio HaNovi didn't have any havamin of Yichud. Also, it doesn't actually say, it's not like in the case of Elisha, where he actually slept in the house. Here it says, Lechal Kelecho. Maybe he slept somewhere else, and she only provided him with food. So he came along. So he came to this Tzofatis, and he said to her, I'm hungry, will you please feed me? And she said to him, yeah, he said, first of all, V'yom chinom atmayim, yeah, v'eshter. Yeah, and there, Vatelech Lokachas, and she went straight away to give him water, even though water was in very short supply. Then he said to her, Likchino li pas lechem biyodeich, I'd like some food as well. And she said to him, you know, times are tough. She says, I don't have any food. All I own is a handful of flour, and a little bit of oil. And she said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a little cake. I'm going to bake it. In fact, she was just gathering wood at the time to make the fire. I'm going to bake it. I'm going to eat a little bit of it myself. My son is going to eat a little bit of it. And then we will both die. Right? We're literally on the breadline. We're about to die. This will keep us going for another few minutes. And then we're going to die. That's what she said to him. Yes? V'abasisihu li v'livni v'achalnuhu v'mosnu. We're going to die. V'yomer le'aliyohu, don't be afraid. Listen to me. He said, make the cake and share it with yourself and your son and me. Yeah, for me as well. Right, make a little one ketana b'rishoina, v'oteso li, v'loch, v'livneich, tasit b'achroina. Sorry, make two cakes. A little one for me, and then another one for you, and you make yours separately. Ki choy ama Hashem, Moshe Alyonovi promised her, that kat hakemech lo sichlo, the jug of flour will never run out, the flour will replace itself, but tzapachas Hashem lo sechso, right? Ad yom titan Hashem gesher al pnei adoma, until this drought is over, you will have an unlimited supply of flour and oil. Yeah, that's what we say. Ish lemanoi nisporchu kad v'tzapachas. In the Slus of Elio HaNovi, right, the jug and the flask were blessed. Yeah. So v'teilech v'tasek idva Eliyahu, and here is the pasuk that the Minchas Shai tells us is the simon for our v'hi. Yeah. V'toichal hu v'hi. Yeah, ubeso yomim, that she and he and her household ate for a whole year from that food. So here it's very interesting because you've got, I read it vatoichal hu vehi, and it's written in the ksiv, it's written hu followed by he, and in the kri it's the other way around. The he is changed to hu, and the hu is changed to he. So in other words, vatoichal he vehu. So therefore, says the Minchas Shai, and I think this is the kavona of the Minchas Shai, he's saying that although it reads hu followed by he, Chazal changed the kri and said, read he followed by hu, that she ate and he ate. Yeah, in other words, they changed the seder with a kri and ksiv twice, a double kri and ksiv. It could be that that was the kavona. The Minchas Shai doesn't say why it's a simon, but it could be that the Minchas Shai is saying, the simon is, if Chazal changed the order, that he should come before who, then you should remember that the first Shabbat Shabbosin he is the he, before the who, the second Shabbat Shabbosin will be who. He before who. It doesn't explain why. I've got a similar, yeah, like ladies first, if you like. There is actually, in this he before who, this is as an aside, yeah, in most cases, yeah, I also thought that it could be that there's a little bit of a reverse psychology here as well. In that it says Vatoichal he vahu, and Yom Kippur is a day when we can't eat, right? So it's a day when you can't eat. So remember that in connection with the Vatoichal, the day when you can't eat, he comes before who. Therefore, when you've got two parshas of Yom Kippur, first one Shabbat Shabbosin will be he, the second one Shabbat Shabbosin will be who. That's the siman that the Mincha Shai gives. Agav, the Balvim, based on a Medrash, actually explains very beautifully why they changed the he to who and the who to he. Right? Why is it changed as a Kriya Naksiv? So he says as follows. He says that Eliyahu HaNavi ate b'schus this lady. Because first of all, the Rabbeinu Shem said, Hinei tzivisi isha almona l'chal kalecho. Therefore, she was sending him to her in order to be provided with food. And secondly, the Medrash says she was zoicha because she was mekabel Eliyahu HaNavi b'seve upon him yofos. Right? She didn't shoo him away. She gave him water, and she was ready to share her food with him, the little that she had. And therefore, the other way around was as well, that obviously she was eating b'schus Eliyahu HaNavi. Right? He was the one who, ish lema anoi, nisparuchu kad v'tzapachas. Therefore, when it says, v'toichal he v'hu, then in the he there was a who, she was eating in his zechus, and in the who there was a he, because he was eating in her zechus. And therefore, when the Torah says "Vatoichal," when the Pasuk says the Novi says, "Therefore, who the he?" There is in the background of the who there is a he, and in the background of the he there is a who, and that's why we have a Kriya Ksiv. It's a nice machshava. It could be, although I've got now a simon from the Minchas Shai as to the he will come before the who, so I know which one to line. The he comes before the who. Nevertheless, I don't know why. And I haven't got an answer for that. I've got a machshava, which is not a very satisfactory answer, and that is that it could be that the reason why we say Shabbos Shabbosin Hi Lochem in Parshas Acharemos of Yom Kippur is because there we're talking about the Avoida of Yom Kippur. So it could be that connection with Avoida is the female, it is the feminine version, it's a feminine word. But in connection with Shoreh Chesev, we're talking about the Yom of Yom Kippur. Shabbos Shabbos and Hu Lochem. But it's not a very satisfactory answer. In most cases, I don't know. And Bechlal, I'd love to know, I haven't seen yet, I haven't found out. Why does the Torah Bechlal make a Kriya Ksiv out of virtually every he in the Torah? We've got 11 which are written he, and hundreds which are written who, but we read them as he, which effectually is a Kriya Ksiv. And why should we have a Kriyan Ksiv on every he? I do not know the answer to that. If anybody knows or sees it in the Sefer, I'd be very, 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 very grateful. Just to digress a little bit, and at the risk of sounding a little bit like Rabbi Aubrey Hirsch, I thought I'd give you a little bit of the historical context of the Minchas Shai and the Chizkuni that we just discussed, where these simonim come from. Because these simonim are very, very old. If you take a simon from the Chizkuni, you talk about a simon that's nearly 800 years old. The Minchas Shai, the reason why the Sefer was called Minchas Shai was because Shai were the Rosh Hashanahs of his name, and his name was Shlomo Yedidia Nurtzi. And he lived in northern Italy, in the Duchy of Lombardy, in a place called Mantova. Mantova still exists. It's not far from, well? Yeah, you've been there. Oh, see? Oh, sorry? There you are, you see? So, that's Mantova. That's where he lived. He was born in 1560, and he died in 1626. And he wrote this classical text called the Minchas Shai, which was originally known by a different name, the Sefer Goyder Peretz, which means mending fences, for a reason that we'll discuss later, on the text of the Torah. And he gave simonim, and he brought down a lot of chizkuni. In his simonim, he brings down a lot of the chizkuni a la Torah as some of the simonim. Who was the chizkuni? Very little is known about the chizkuni. His name was Rabbi Chezkel ben Mondayach. He lived in France, and he wrote a Sefer approximately 1240, and a lot of it was based on Rashi. It was a parish on Rashi, who'd written his parish almost 200 years earlier. I always used to wonder, yeah, how did the, in the days before, you know, the Chizkuni, when he wrote, who was probably an obscure person, he sat and he learnt, he wrote his parish, he wrote everything by hand, everything was a ksav yad. The Ksav Yad of the Chizkuni is in the Bodleian Library in Oxford, and that's where the Bois of the Rav Kook, when they reprinted the Chizkuni, they checked it against, or they used the text, the Ksav Yad, which is in the Bodleian Library in Oxford. So it was written by hand. Yeah, and those days, and we'll discuss a little bit later about printing, yeah, there wasn't mass production of Sephorim. And the Milchas Shai lived approximately 300 miles away, 250 years later, with the Alps in between. Yeah, and I wondered, you know, where did he get the text from? Where did he get a Chizkuni from? And the interesting thing was that when I did some research, it became very clear, possibly, where he might have got it from. Because printing was discovered in the early 1400s, yeah? It was Johannes Gutenberg in Germany, yeah? They had very primitive presses, the ink was primitive, the presses were... and it was very laborious as well to set the text. And initially they started printing on parchment, and then in the mid-1400s people started producing paper from wood pulp, and then it really, really took off. So this was the new business, this was the new industry, and a number of Yidden went into it, including a large number of Yidden in Portugal. And they started printing in a big way in Portugal in the late 1400s.
What?
We're coming to Sonsino, but Sonsino is Italy. Yeah. The Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition, started in 1492, and a lot of Yidden escaped from Spain across the border into Portugal. And they took refuge in Portugal. But for political reasons, right, the King of Spain was applying pressure the whole time on the King of Portugal to start the Inquisition there as well.
Yes.
And eventually he gave in.
Yes.
He resisted for a time, but eventually he gave in 1536. In 1536, the Inquisition came to Portugal as well, and they expelled all the Jews. In that period, between 1492 and 1536, a number of Yidden saw the writing on the wall, and they knew that there were already persecutions and that the church was becoming stronger and there was pressure on the king. And therefore, they already started to emigrate. At that time, they could still take things with them. And a number of Yidden who were involved in printing emigrated from Portugal, took their presses with them, and they went to Italy, which was a country that still welcomed them. And they settled in northern Italy and in other parts of Italy. And they started printing Sephorim there. And therefore, it's well known that there were printing presses for him. The earliest for him, printed for him, were printed in Venice. They were printed in Livorno. They were printed in Sonsino. Yeah, Sonsino is a town. And Rabbi, I don't know if it's Mr. or Reb Gershon Sonsino, who was the printer, took his name from the town. Sonsino, and there was a printing press in Cremona as well. Yeah, now Cremona, by the way, is Sonsino. Sonsino is 20 miles northwest of Cremona. Yeah, there was foreign printed there. When was the first edition of the Chizkuni printed? The first edition of the Chizkuni, which was written as a Ksav Yad in 1240, was printed over 300 years later in 1548 in Cremona, in Italy, in northern Italy, which is just 40 miles away from Mantova, where the Milchas Shai lived, and 2 years before he was born. So therefore it's quite conceivable to me that the Milchas Shai got the Chizkuni as a bar mitzvah present. Yeah? It was being printed, Mamash, literally a few miles down the road, it was being printed in the Jewish press, and therefore he got it. The other thing that occurs to me is, possibly, that why did the Milchas Shai become so interested in this? He mentions a number of times in his Sefer, because there were so many mistakes in the early editions of the printing. Right, the early edition of the printing contained so many mistakes, and it was natural, even today, with all our technology, we still have mistakes in some newly printed Sephorim. And in those days, probably there were even more mistakes, and therefore he was worried that the text should remain authentic and that people shouldn't make any mistakes. Therefore he wrote a text on the grammar of the, what's called it. That's why maybe he called the Sefer Goyde Peretz, mending fences, mending broken fences, because the text was getting spoiled. And therefore he wrote this text, that's how he became interested in it. I've got 5 minutes, I'm going to start with another one, right, just to pique your interest, right, if you move on to your next lines, then we can see there's another one, which is the one that actually started me off on this, yeah, this one I've tried out on my family, and I've tried it out on my seed partner, right, and most people get 3 out of 4 right, so let's see how you get wrong, let's see how many you get wrong, okay, the Torah there is speaking about the issa of eating blood, Iparshas Acharemos. And Rashi says to you straight away, because Rashi perceived that we would have difficulty in working out what is who and what is he. So Rashi says, remember, I've written it at the top there, nefesh is feminine, Bosor is Zohar, and Dam is Zohar. Okay? Dam is a masculine verb, Bosor is a masculine verb, but Nefesh is a feminine verb.
Nam.
Okay. So therefore, the Torah says in the first Pasuk in your list there, Ki Nefesh HaBosor, because the soul of a person, the soul of a human being, Badom is in the blood. Okay? So, the subject of the... is the subject the Dam, or is the subject the Nefesh?
Nefesh.
Well, Pashas the Nefesh. So therefore, would you say that the Pasuk should read, Ki Nefesh HaBosor Badom?
He.
Any who's here?
Oh?
Did he say he knows it too? But it's he. Okay? Yeah. Ki Nefesh HaBosor Badom He. Okay? Because it's going, the subject is the Nefesh. And the Nefesh is feminine. Therefore, Ki Nefesh HaBosor Badom He. That's the first Pasuk. Therefore, the Torah says, "V'ani nesativ lochem alam esbeach." Therefore, because the nefesh of the person is in the blood, therefore I have given you the mitzvah zrikas adam to bring to our bonus, in order to be mechaper. The dam should be mechaper for the dam in the body. Fine. Then the pasuk finishes off, "Ki hadam something, but nefesh yechaper," because the dam will now be mechaper for your souls. Now, if we know that. Oh, so here the subject is the dam. It is the blood that will be mechaper for your souls. Therefore, the subject is dam. Therefore, it reads ki hadam hu banefesh yechaper.
It's the same blood that we talked about before.
It's the same blood. No, before we spoke about the nefesh habosah. So the blood, yes, but the nefesh is in the blood. What's the subject? Okay, let's leave out the third one because that's what most people get wrong. And do the last one. Yeah, the Torah says, therefore al kain, therefore I told you, dam kol bosor lo'sachelu, don't eat dam. Ki nefesh kol bosor, because the nefesh of every soul is in the blood. So badom, what should that be? He. Okay, because again the subject is nefesh. So that's right. Number one, ki nefesh habosor badom he. And number two is ki adom hu banefesh yechaper. And the fourth one is ki nefesh kol bosor domoi he. What about the third one? Here it says, ki nefesh kol bosor, because the soul of every human being, or actually every living thing, domoi banafshoi, that his domoi banafshoi. Says Rashi, yeah? Domoi benafshi doesn't mean that the blood is in the soul. It's the soul that's in the blood. He says it's the other way around, really. Nafshoi bedomoi hu. That's how you understand it in pshat. Yes? So, nefesh aboso, nafshoi bedomoi. Is that who or is it he?
Should be he,
right? Here, most people are not 100% sure, right? You're saying it's who, and I've got a few people he. Okay? It is who. Okay, it is who. And I'll just tell you the siman that the Mincha Shai brings, and this is an easy siman to remember. He says as follows. There's a posuk again he brings in, the posuk is in Yirmiyahu. The posuk says, Nekevo to soivev gever, that the lady will surround the man. Right? That the females will surround the males. So he says that's the siman. Yeah, what does the siman mean? Very simple. It says, I've got four Hevav Alephs in those four psukim. Yeah? The first one is he, the second one's who, the third one is who, the fourth one is he. Therefore, the ladies, the he's, are on the outside, the two who's are on the inside. Therefore, the kevot are soveid gever. The lady is surrounded, the ladies are surrounding the men. Two he's on the outside, two who's on the inside. So when I was preparing Kriyas HaTorah that Shabbos, all I had to remember when I come to these psukim is, he, who, he, and then I didn't get it wrong. Okay? Alright, what?
I said,
yeah. Okay, yeah, again, if you're a chassid, you've got no problem at all, it's all he, yeah? But if you're pronouncing otherwise, then you'll remember, so therefore, to recap from the simonim that we've dealt with, yeah, the Shabbos Hi Lashem, Shabbos Shabbos and Hi Lochem is the first one for Yom Kippur. Shabbos Shabbos and Hu Lochem is the second one for Yom Kippur. And in the Dam, the order is He, Hu, and He. The Pasuk that came up to say together, that simon itself is a beautiful Pasuk in a very interesting context. There's a lot to speak about it. We'll leave that for another time.